to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program. In this bonus episode, we have two returning heroes, Rufus and Howard, a.k.a. Mad by Cow! I'm Ollie Bettesworth, and welcome to this bonus extracurricular episode of my show. We're back with Rufus and Howard again, aka Man by Cow, and this episode will feature the bits that didn't quite make it into the first episode due to time restraints, but nonetheless were funny and interesting, and I know that Man by Cow have a fan base out there that might be interested to hear them. There's not much more to say, I just want to get on with it, except to remind you that where we left off in the first episode, Rufus had just provided a fitting climax in the form of tales from his travels around Costa Rica, one involving a time when he was robbed at double gunpoint by a gang of marauding thieves. It provided a tense, action-packed and profound finale, but I then threw to Howard to match it with one of his love choices, and this is what you're about to hear now. This is what Howard came up with.
It was a bread.
No, oral sex.
Oral sex, yeah. That's brilliant, right?
Dirty boy. Is it giving or receiving?
It's getting a little bit hot in here.
It's both. I've got very, very little to say.
69s then.
No, the reason I like oral sex is it works. It works.
Yeah, justify it, because we're all dying to... How could you?
Listen, just in case, so you can picture the situation. We are... Three men sitting in a kitchen, feeling increasingly uncomfortable. So, Howard, why do you like oral sex?
Well, because if I'm giving oral sex, then I can last a long time, and so there's no worries there.
So, yeah, what you're saying is your tongue doesn't come and then go all limp.
Yeah, and also women probably are. I don't think women really are that much into it.
Giving oral sex.
For the same reason, my inability to last means that, they can get me done and over and done with really quickly. So everyone's a winner. Mm-hmm. There's no expectations on my part in that respect, other than that my tongue doesn't freeze up, which it's pretty good. I've got a pretty good tongue.
You do those tongue exercises though, don't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Lift tongue weights.
That was quite a rate.
And also, yeah, it's great. It's great oral sex, isn't it?
It's a good reason.
That's another reason, is that it's good.
No, I don't like it. So if anyone out there wants to try and convince me that I'm wrong, then I'm taking applications.
Yeah.
Because,
I don't like rules.
Yeah, I think it's terrible, but if someone wants to, give me loads to try and
persuade you,
if they want to convince me that I'm actually wrong about not liking oral sex.
What about the giving of? I mean, do you have, rules about how much shaving must be done in the...
No, not at all. I think rules about shaving would be weird. That wouldn't occur to me to start making rules about shaving.
Well, some people say they don't like to give the oral if there's not been some kind of, topiary done.
Yeah, if they haven't got their pubes in the shape of a big rabbit or something, then I'm not going down there.
But I think that works both ways. So I always keep myself tidy, trim and tidy.
Shave.
Yeah.
Shave.
Not trim. Trimming mostly. Sometimes a little bit of a shave. You don't want to really be shaving there, though.
No, it gets itchy.
Yeah.
Don't want that. Let's talk more about this.
I would wax. I think they'd come off, wouldn't they?
Yeah, not so people like a child.
Because I was thinking about a man waxing his moustache the other day.
Waxing your moustache doesn't mean ripping your moustache off.
It does.
No, that's like putting wax on it.
I know, but
your moustache in that way.
I know, but women wax moustaches because they get their hair.
Oh, right, okay.
Women. So I was thinking if a man would never do that, because I'm pretty sure that my top lip would just get torn off, and you'd just be able to see my teeth.
is there a difference in the hair quality in the top lip?
This
hair
is what
quality.
I was thinking. So that's why it's dangerous.
When women have a bit of a moustache, it tends to be quite light, thin hair, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that comes out more easily if you wax it. Whereas man's hair tends to be a bit thicker.
Yeah,
maybe that rips your lip off with it.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of a drawing pin. You just know that the hair on the other end is got a big flat bit that's embedded in you. So if you wax, you rip your mouth off.
So what we're saying is that man hair is like drawing pins, whereas woman hair isn't.
Yeah, and that's why I like oral sex.
Okay, good.
That's good. Okay.
But, you know, obviously, you know, hygiene's important.
That's true, hygiene is important.
I should mention that.
Hygiene is important, that's true.
But I'm just getting it out there that I'm really, really happy to give oral sex.
And not get anything in return, that's what you're saying.
Two women, though, specifically.
Yeah, two women, definitely two women.
Two women.
Yeah, because I've got that tongue, that forked
bifurcated
tongue.
Bifurcated tongue.
Bifurcated, yeah. Have you seen people do that?
Yeah. I don't think they do it for that reason, though. So they can...
Do two women at once. Yeah, that's why.
You'd have to have a pretty long tongue.
Did you see that programme, Body Shop, where someone had got a bifurcated penis?
No, I didn't see that.
They had their penis split.
Wow.
Well, I guess so they could do two women at once, I don't know. Or maybe so you can do them up the arse and the vagina at the same time.
I think surely the actual reason they did it was because of some serious psychological problem.
But if you start with one
penis,
hopefully normal sized penis, right?
What's normal sized?
Well, you know, say you've got an average penis.
Okay.
3 to 4.
All right, yeah,
inches
I've got
long. And split that in two. Surely you've got half. Is two half penises as good as...
What you're saying is now you've got a 6-inch penis. Because you've split your 3 inches in half.
Maybe that's why they did it.
That
maybe
is how it works. Yeah.
I don't know if they split it in half and then like you know removed one half and attached it to the end.
They don't split it across, presumably. They split down the middle.
Yes. If you split it across, that's not going to make it longer. That's going to make it shorter.
No, absolutely. That's
but what I'm saying is if you split it down the middle and then remove one half and then attach it to the end, then you've doubled your length, haven't you?
That is true.
You've halved your girth.
But that's what you're doing when you split it in two in the first place.
No, what you're doing when you split your penis in two is something much more horrendous than that.
So what is it then? Describe
You're trying to get the banana out, aren't you? That's what you're doing.
Trying to get the... Yeah.
You're going to get the middle out, right? You cut it down the middle to take the fruit out. You got two plums and then you got a banana. You want to get the banana fruit out.
Yeah, so you're peeling your penis.
Yeah.
But I want to get back to this. Because I'm imagining that you've got a normal...
What I'm saying is, it's the expression of something that's gone seriously wrong in your head.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, but I'm talking about the mechanics.
Yeah,
I don't know about
the mechanics. If the idea is I want to have two penises,
yeah.
Presumably you can say you've got two penises, but what you actually have is two penises that are very thin.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What you're suggesting is that...
Well, half as thin as they should be.
Half as thin as they should be.
The wrong shape.
Half as big as they were.
Like sort of semicircular.
Yeah. Not half as thin as they should be. As thin as they should be, right? Because if you've got your one penis and half and you've got two penises, they're not half as thin as they should be. They're twice as thin as they should be.
Yes,
that's right,
yes,
isn't
yes,
it?
It right depends right. how you're using the word thick.
Thick.
If you yeah.
Thick. Half as thick.
If you're
half
using
as
it,
thick as they should
if you're
be.
Using it as a like a quantifier to say how thin something is to give a measurement, then Ollie's would be right. But if you're using it as a descriptive, then yours would be right.
I'm just using it mathematically. As in, like, you've got two penises.
If you're using it mathematically, then you need numbers.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we move on to the next thing?
Making Rufus laugh, I've got on here.
So really?
Yeah. He's my benchmark, you see. If he finds it amusing, then I assume it's funny.
Not a good thing.
That's quite a lot of pressure.
It's only very occasionally I'll push a joke that he will disagree steadfastly is not funny. And I'll be like, no, this is the funniest thing ever. And he's usually right.
Yeah, but I mean, I do laugh at the thing is, I mean, I'd say I find you more amusing than most.
Yeah,
what should be on my love list is you dancing, because there's nothing that makes me laugh more than Howard dancing.
Yeah, you do like that.
Yeah,
well, I can see that I've not actually written down the end thought, but I know what it is because it's I've got unintentionally funny things. Which I've put next to YouTube videos and people falling over.
But you put other people's misfortune here, which is...
That's what I was leading up to, yeah, that's what it was going to.
Tell the story about the girl on Gray's Inn Road?
It's not much of a story, is there?
No, it's not. It's story is the wrong word for it.
Okay.
Do you want to tell them what you like?
Yeah, no, you go for it, yeah.
All right, well, basically we're walking down Gray's Inn Road and there was a group of young Asian girls walking towards us, tourists talking a non-English language to each other, One of them tripped a little bit, not fell over, just went tripped and stumbled. Mm-hmm. And Howard just, like, pretty much pointed at her and laughed openly.
Yeah.
Like, not completely unabashed. He might as well have said, "You're a massive idiot."
Yeah.
It couldn't have been more obvious. And I was horrified. This poor girl already feeling,
but it was really
feeling
funny.
Bad. A visitor to our country, just round the corner from where I work. So I might have seen her in work the next day, in my class, for all I knew. And, just openly laughing at her. I've never seen him happier.
But that's fine. that's the most I mean by that. It's, I don't laugh when people, lose a friend in a car accident.
Right.
Or just the small things. I like it when people fall over, and I like the YouTube videos with the people that don't really know what they're doing and they're funny for the wrong reasons. I like that. It's really bad. It's the worst kind of X Factor kind of thing. I quite like the first episodes because I like...
Yeah, a lot of reality TV show is exactly made for you.
When people are trying to do something, like they're trying to sing or perform something, but they're...
Yeah, they don't really know what they're doing. People don't know what they're doing, or people that have accidents.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy that.
Non-fatal accidents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't really wish them any harm, but I understand that the harm is. That's why I won't watch programmes like X Factor, because I'll be laughing at somebody for the wrong reasons, and I feel bad about that.
Mm.
But I don't feel bad if someone falls over. That's just funny, right?
Yeah, I don't have the same...
Cause
I find those shows, like, where, those early stages where you're meant to react in that way, I find them quite... uncomfortable to watch. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's not very funny. Yeah, I mean, I think once I've kind of thought about it and realised that a lot of the time the reason why they're laughed at is because they're shocked at how they could possibly say they were rubbish. And that's, you're supposed to laugh at them thinking, oh God, they obviously think they're so good that this is the first time anyone... But actually, they must go through several stages and they won't be told ahead of time why they're being put through.
People telling them they're good, probably.
Or
at least
implying. Maybe they won't say that they're good, but they'll say, look, you've been called through to the next round.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been called through to the next round, which is actually meeting the judges.
And then suddenly it's you're terrible, and the audience is going, you're terrible. That's the first time they see an audience, right?
Yeah, and so we're all supposed to laugh at them, kind of going, what?
Yeah.
But that might actually be
it was just someone
they've kind of been lied to.
It was just someone having a punt. They're like, I'll have a go. And then they're like, through.
Yeah, like
encourage. Yeah, but there's no point when they actually go, "I'm amazing" on their own. It's kind of encouraged.
Yeah, you've got to be a bit deluded to not realise you're fucking awful, haven't you?
Well, we haven't noticed.
Okay, fair. Okay.
We're happy to put things out.
Oh, no, I am a bit deluded. I'm a lot deluded. So not so much that, but mostly people falling over is good.
Yeah, Howard made me put that on.
Yeah, so you can tell there's loads of stories about all his stupid foreign students he has.
That's not
and they're hilarious names.
No,
he's got loads of students that have, he's always telling me about the stupid names they have. And
no,
I'm
not. Maybe twice I've done that.
Jam shit
was a good one. Yeah, there's never been a fuck face. No, the thing is, I teach people from all over the world, right?
Yeah.
From every country you can think of. I teach them English.
Right.
Well, he doesn't teach them it properly, though. He does it on purpose to make them look like idiots. He's always telling me he's a really bad teacher. He's got no qualifications either.
That part's true, but
he's
quite
talked,
good at it.
Talked his way into this job.
Just sabotage.
And then he just teaches them wrong stuff because he really hates anyone that's not English.
That's not true. I teach them very true stuff, and I'm very good at my job. But the thing is, I get students from all over the world with names I've never heard before that come from languages I don't speak that make often include noises that it's impossible for my English mouth to make. Okay,
right.
So they can be quite complicated, but I have to learn these names. But occasionally, the worst part is that sometimes they have surprisingly humorous names, like Jamshit, for example, who is a Uzbeki. Guy who, when I met him, introduced him. I said, "Hello, what's your name?" He said, "Jamshit," and I said, "No, your name, not the worst thing you can think of." it's just. But then I have to totally keep a straight face, and it's it's quite difficult. I'm going, Jamshit.
Mm.
Mm. nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Jam shit. And then every time I want him to answer a question or get his attention, like, jam shit, what do you think? I've got to say this without laughing. It can be called bum quan. That was another one. Bum quan was from Korea. Bum. Yeah, I could abbreviate that to bum, absolutely.
Or jam, could call
him. I could call him jam, yeah. But no, he's you can't just abbreviate other people's names without asking permission first. And if I ask him permission, I'm going to have to say, can I call you jam? Because jam shit makes me think of something quite horrific. Mm. And then explain to him what his name means.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't think he needs to know that. He's going back to Uzbekistan. Yeah. Change it. Yeah. Call yourself Jason or something.
Yeah.
One weird thing is Chinese students, when they have an English name, all right? So they have like their real name, but then they've chosen an English name to make our lives easier, which is nice of them. But the trouble is, they do this in English classes at school in China, right? And they've got a really old list of names, like from the 30s or something. So what you end up with is like 18, 19-year-old Chinese girls introducing themselves as Ethel or Ada or something.
Really?
And then I've got to call her Ethel. So Ethel, what do you think? And I'm talking to a 20-year-old Chinese girl. And this is quite universal. They're really out-of-date names. But Chinese people.
I find that quite attractive though. A young, attractive lady with an old lady's name. Something quite hot about it.
I can introduce you to many.
Like I've time travelled. And I get to
kind
of whore around with girls.
With your grandma.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the dream.
Yeah.
But you do like it, so don't you? You know all the words.
It's quite a hipster thing to have an old lady's name now.
Maybe it's become cool.
Done to you for all hipster.
Yes. Yeah. Florence and the Machine. Yes, that's a lady name,
Florence,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And Martha. My friends have got a kid called Martha.
So yeah, I teach English, and I do. I like my job. I do enjoy it, and it is quite a fascinating language because it's entirely steeped in the history and the development of the language, and every like the words that we choose and the way that we speak is actually a result of quite historic processes. And because it's a descriptivist rather than a prescriptivist language, which means that the language has been kind of allowed to develop on its own by the way that people use it, rather than having an academy of people who make the decisions.
Yeah.
Like a language like Spanish or French, they have an academy, and those guys just decide this is right and this is wrong, and they're often quite conservative in their attitudes. So they don't like modern structures and language and words and so on.
Yeah.
Whereas English has always been quite democratic.
Like
there's people who decide if things can go in the dictionary, though, aren't they? They do stop it.
No, not exactly, because there's no single dictionary. There's lots of dictionaries. And you're like, when the newspapers report on new words going in, if you read the article, it'll be like, this word's now in the Oxford English Dictionary. But another one might say the Cambridge English Dictionary or Macmillan, and there's loads of dictionaries. And essentially what they do, they don't decide, they put a word in when enough people are using it, or they've got the corpus, the English corpus, which like keeps an eye on how words are being used in print and so on, and people study the way the language is used, and the same happens with grammar. Grammar changes if enough people make the same mistake, and if like the thing about English, you always get prescriptivist people like online going, oh, you're spelling that wrongly, and pushing the rules, and that drives me crazy. I hate that, especially when it's my job to correct people. I hate when people are like, oh, you've spelt your wrong. Who cares? You know, if you understood the post, that is what matters.
Although I will say, as someone who I like the English language as well, what annoys me is when someone does make a genuine mistake and someone calls them on it, and then they go, oh, well, language evolves, as sort of a way of, I'm not going to learn how to speak in a way that participates in everyone else. I think there's like a middle ground between those two.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think there's a knee-jerk correction type of person. There's most situations you don't need to correct people, and don't bother. If someone's being an arse and you want to correct their English, fine, whatever, I don't care. But the thing is, the idea that you do get stuck in this idea that there is a correct way of doing things, but you can see language changing just in your own lifetime.
Yeah.
Like in our lifetime, things have already changed. Like the acceptance now of saying something like "if I was rich" instead of "if I were rich," which is the second conditional using the subjunctive. But in fact, it's "if I were rich" is the subjunctive, and "if I was rich" is actually just the simple past tense.
Yeah.
But now it's acceptable to do that because enough people made the same mistake. And this is actually quite a beautiful thing, because it means instead of having a group of fusty old old guys in a university somewhere making all the decisions about language. Mm-hmm. What happens is, if enough people do something, then it's right. So it's pure democracy. It's like, if the majority of people do it this way, then we move on and we give up the old way because they're a minority.
I've got an exception.
And
to this.
there's also a middle ground where just give me one more second.
Sexism's acceptable then, isn't it? Because more people are sexist than not. Is that right?
No, we're talking about grammar though.
I know we're talking about grammar. She's a woman.
And actually, it's possible grammar. Yeah, people hate our grammar, but I mean, she's a Nazi.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a middle ground as well where there's two ways, and that's the thing with if I was, if I were. Now both are correct. So yeah. It's not like we're saying you old people, you have to
change. Can't
change. They can carry
the
on.
Lyrics to if I were a rich man, though, can you? Because that.
No, but if you're speaking, you can say if I was a rich man. But you're quoting. That's different. but there's this time now where everyone's right. You guys are right, the old people, but enough people are making the same mistake for us to be right now as well. And you also get this kind of formality, informality thing, which is fascinating. And then six-mality. Also, that's the future. And then if those guys become enough of a minority...
I know all about English me.
Yeah, you're good. But if I were guys, if they become a small enough minority, then in the future, the if I was people will be correcting them on the internet. And when someone says, if I were rich, they'll be going, oh, get it right. It's if I was, you idiot, because they're now the minorities. And I think I find that fascinating. I find the development and the fact that all of this is happening right now and has happened throughout the history of English as well. I find all that fascinating.
I agree with you, but I have an exception.
Go for it.
In America,
yeah,
it is correct to say, I could care less.
Yes.
What you think of me.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this. Yeah, that is.
Because I didn't believe you.
Yeah.
You said this. I said, nobody says that.
No, absolutely. That drives me crazy as well. And it's not. It's impossible not to be annoyed by things. I mean, because that's just a human thing. You're like, oh, that's
also,
wrong. That's
they've
different.
Changed. That isn't just, well, you said it this way, I said it that way.
Yeah.
They've completely reversed the meaning of the phrase.
Absolutely. But I've got another example of that for you, which we do, which is head over heels.
Right.
Okay. Think about head over heels. You are head over heels now, sitting the right way up. Your head is over your heels.
Yes.
Right. And there's a theory that the original phrase was heels over head. I'm heels over head in love because that makes more sense. But when we say it, we think of the meaning of being upside down. You say I'm head over heels in love, you think of turning upside down, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But and the theory is that actually the phrase changed because it sounds better and it's got a better lyrical flow to it or whatever, and it became head over heels. And because that's before we started speaking, we never question it.
That's
and
true,
the same thing is happening with I could care less, or has happened, in fact, in
America. The difference is that I'm here to correct them.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I will.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say...
But the thing is, they are, like you say, and I agree, every time I hear that on TV, I'm like, but that makes no sense! That's the opposite of what you mean! But it has become correct, and so we aren't in a position to correct them, because that's now a part of American English, and everyone understands it, and so it's now idiomatic. It's not literal speech, it's idiomatic speech.
Mm. Well, maybe it's sarcastic, is it?
No.
I could care less.
Yeah. Maybe like that. Maybe it started as sarcasm. I've no idea. It's one of those things that happen. And this is the great thing about English. Things just happen. And when you look at the development of idioms and so on, most idioms, we don't know where they came from. You're like, why do we say, let the cat out of the bag or something? And I'm using that as an example. If you know, listener, then that's great.
That's because somebody's
put
a cat in a
top
bag
of my head.
And it's like, let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, but there's not... And some idioms, we don't know where it comes from or why we say it.
The cat's in the bag and the bag's in the river.
Yeah. Because you don't want it to drown, that's where it comes from.
But
why
is letting the cat out of the bag got anything to do with me telling people that I'm pregnant?
Why is cats in bags?
Okay, I know the answer to this one. Because somebody told a cat the secret, because they weren't allowed to tell the secret to anybody, so they decided to tell it to a cat.
And put it in a bag.
And then they were like, put the cat in a bag and drowned it so the cat would never tell anyone. So to let the cat out of the bag is to get the cat back out of the river, let it out so the cat can tell you.
But the cat's dead. So what they must have done is they didn't tell the cat. They shaved the secret into the side of the cat.
Yes.
But then they're like, now everyone can read
my
secret on my cat. So they put it in a bag, drowned the cat, but then someone found the dead cat in the bag, let it out of the bag, everyone knew. I'm pregnant.
To the ground, and everyone reads the cat.
This is where it comes from.
Exactly.
Andy Onions said to me, said to me last night, he said, and like I said, oh, I'm not sure I believe you, but I've got no proof to the contrary. He said that they've just recently put in the dictionary the use of the word literally to be used.
An intensifier.
No, not recently. This has been around since Dickens. Seriously, no. I watched a video, literally to mean figuratively.
Yeah.
To mean for emphasis. Yeah. I watched a video by the editor of Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, who was giving examples of literally being used in that way as far back as Dickens.
Tell them the link, so everyone's going to want to check this out.
I don't know. I mean, I watched a video online. I'm sorry, but it was yeah, because people. I'm the same. I get frustrated. Like you go, you know, I was literally going out of my head and stuff. You know, we literally get on like a house on fire. You know, no, you figuratively do that. Mm. But actually, this is a second meaning to the word that has been in existence for some time, surprisingly. And like really, really significant writers have used it.
Left really, isn't it?
You've got public speaking and audiences.
Oh yeah,
which is an interesting one.
Yeah, I was cheating there. I was always cheating with all of them because I had nothing to say anything. That's why I put old, ugly, and short, because there was actually three things and I thought I could get away with it. Public speaking, I hate public speaking, not because of audiences though. I hate audiences as a separate thing, but I was cheating.
Okay.
I hate public speaking because I can't do it. I can never come up with the words.
I've seen you do it.
Yeah, but I don't. I can be on stage in a double act, but I could never go up there on my own.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Basically, once upon a time, not that long ago, I don't think really, about 3 or 4 years ago, I did a storytelling seminar at the World Economic Forum.
Okay.
Where they just got hired a bunch of like actory type people who knew something about storytelling to kind of go along and do this thing, and you've got to be proficient, kind of like teacher styling basically. And I'm not a teacher. I'm not anyone that could ever speak with authority. Certainly not in front of a bunch of people. Certainly not in front of a bunch of people at the World Economic Forum, which is people that like solve, you know.
World economic problems.
I don't even know what economics is. So I'm like, all right. And so I'm there, and some people got to be with other people. I was on my own, and I had to speak to these people, and didn't know the first thing what I was talking about. And you have to try and get them to, you know, and I was like, oh, it's not going very well. And someone said, well, you've got to play games with them, isn't it? I was like, oh, yeah, great. I'm going to go and fucking play Zip Zap Boing with a bunch of fucking, like, 60-year-old scientists or whatever the hell they are. But anyway, we had to get them to tell their stories and put on a fucking 5-minute play. And so everyone does it, and I've got mine done, everything. And it was funny and everything. Comes to the end, and the boss guy, he was like, oh, really unpleasant kind of I don't know, probably like an Oxford flunk out or something despicable. he just had to go around the circle and say, what is your play about? Unfortunately, I was sat right next to him, so he came to me first. What's the blame at? And the thing's like, I ain't got a fucking first idea what it was about. It was one of their stories that they'd told about another forum thing with famous people. And it had George Bush in it. And it was good. It had impersonations and it was funny. And he said, I hadn't slept the night before because I was terrified. He kind of goes to me, goes like, what's it about? And I looked at him in the eye and I went, politics. And you could see any kind of any faith he had in me as a director of a short play kind of like drain immediately away. And then he went around the rest of the group and everyone got their answers. They were perfect. It's about this and this happened. And I was like, oh, I'm so fucking, who let me in? Who let me come in? I didn't want to do it anyway. And he went because it was an offer of a significant amount of money for a short trip abroad to Geneva, is it? Oh, no.
Some country.
So, anyway, mine also had an impersonation of Professor Schwab in it, and he's like the top dog there and everything. And eventually it came out that they went around saying to people, oh, by the way, there's not any impersonations of Professor Schwab in your thing, is there? And I went, oh, there's an easy out. Because people are going, yeah, there is, but we can change ours. I was like, yeah, no, he's in mine, and it's integral to the piece. So my guys didn't get to do theirs. And I was like, and I was saying to them, because I'm such a massive, horrible coward, I was going, like, yeah, they wouldn't let you do it, guys. And I really fought for you. I did. Not the fact that, like, basically, I'm an idiot. I've no idea what your thing was about. I cheaped out because I'm a complete moron and useless, and I should never be allowed anywhere because I'm not an adult. And anyway, then everyone did their plays, and I sat and watched them, and I went, oh, fuck, mine was good. Everyone else's was awful. Mine was the best one, and they never got to do it.
Oh,
because I don't know anything, and I'm not that kind. I'm not that, but like you know, obviously I produce wonderful directorial work, but unfortunately I can't put it into words. Yeah. Exactly what I've done.
Can't pitch it.
Yeah. And so that's why, yeah. And that was one of my worst experiences of my life doing that. Anyway, I hate audiences because they're idiots.
Right. Let's end with the last hate one that we have on your list.
Mine? What is it?
Shopping.
Shopping? Oh, yeah, I hate shopping.
I fucking love shopping. Why do you hate shopping?
I hate shopping. It's no... I hate the act of going into shops and having to choose something. It's such a massive responsibility. And I'm actually quite self-conscious and like I almost actually one of the things that's on my longer list is shy people. Can I talk about that first? Because
okay.
I hate shy people because I am massively shy. But
right.
What I don't like, what bugs me, is shy people who don't hide it.
Okay.
Right? Because it feels to me like though they are less shy than me, because I've spent my whole life like creating this confident character that I can play all the time to hide the fact that I'm completely horrified by everything all the time and terrified by the world, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who's like awkward and like openly shy, I'm like, where do you get the confidence to be so openly shy so everyone can see that you're shy while I'm spending every minute of my life trying to hide the fact?
Mm.
So I think there's a certain jealousy
in
how relaxed you must be to be openly
those
shy.
Those people with like weird nervous tics and clammy hands though. I mean, I don't think they're doing that.
No. I mean people who are shy, regular shy. I don't mean like, you know, but just shy people.
Regular
like, you know,
shy.
People who come to Thursday nights and
yeah.
they're all like awkward and shy and they don't in any way try to hide it.
Yeah,
that
but...
bugs me. that annoys me. Then it's like, what?
Yeah, no, I don't like those people.
There's confident people and they're just confident. You just ignore them. Well done, you've got confidence. I don't know where it comes from. You don't deserve it, but carry on. But it seems to me like shy people are just below them, and then proper shy people, they're you can't tell them apart from the confident people because they're hiding it well.
Mm.
And actually, maybe confident people don't exist, right? This is my other theory. Maybe, or at least certainly, there's not as many confident people as there seem to be, because at least some of them are people like me who have just spent their lives developing this way of talking and being that makes them look confident.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the moment they walk away from any conversation, they're going, "Oh, I'm confident," like idiots,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so it seems to me like maybe if confident people don't exist, then the really most confident people are the openly shy people.
Do you think it takes confidence to be open about the fact?
I think it takes more confidence than I have.
But you're assuming a degree of social awareness in those shy people that they know that they're coming across as shy.
Yeah, they're
maybe
just weirdos. That
maybe they're
that,
just...
No,
they're so shy that
they're just
crippled with not even being...
Yeah, they're fucking cripples.
I think they're
people who are fairly relaxed with existence and therefore... they're kind of okay with who they are, and who they are is a bit shy, right? But they're kind of okay with that, and that is a level of confidence I've only ever dreamed of.
Mm. I do think people use it as an excuse not to try socially as well. Sometimes.
Now we've moved on to another topic here, and explain.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, you'll see someone and they're being a bit standoffish or being even a bit rude, and then I'll maybe turn to my friends and be like, why are they being a little bit antisocial or whatever? Oh, they're just shy.
Yeah.
Or that even at the end of the night, oh, sorry if I've been a bit, I'm just a bit shy.
Yeah.
And you think, well...
That's a different class of person again, isn't it? I agree, there are definitely people like that exist.
I think maybe they are shy, but
yeah,
they just haven't then done the next step, which is,
well,
how do I not be so shy to become rude?
Yeah.
They're worried that they'll turn out like your guys. It's like, it's better to sit in a corner and look mysterious and moody than to attempt to speak and then like everyone realise that you kind of like that.
But you're not talking about mysterious and moody.
You're
focusing
on these tics.
Visual tics, which the listener cannot hear.
The idea of visual tics. We're talking about.
It's a good job that they can't.
I'm not talking about people with a twitch.
You're talking about weird, sweaty people.
No, I'm not.
Come along and
they don't
like...
have to be sweaty.
They are.
I'm talking about regular shy people, and you're not talking about people who sit in the corner quietly, are you? You're talking about people who you talk to.
And they don't really try very hard.
Yeah, who then seem to be quite rude after that.
Or they just give one-word answers to things.
Yeah, I know.
You're trying to engage them. Because my shyness when I was shy, since I've become a comedian,
I was shy. Yeah.
Well, I'm still, I'm a little bit like you in that I've developed mainly through doing stand up, I've developed a kind of confidence and a persona that I'm more comfortable and it appears confident.
Yeah.
But then, like you, in private moments, I'll be thinking, what a dickhead I am. But the thing that, when I was younger and I was very kind of quiet and shy, if someone engaged me in a friendly way, I would give back, and that would be the step I needed to not to feel so awkward, as someone's kind of included me or someone's made an effort or seems to be interested in me.
What you're saying is that you were a better shy person than those other shy people you're talking about.
I was a genuinely friendly person who was shy rather than someone who's actually just a bit antisocial and rude.
Maybe they're shy and boring.
Maybe.
Or shy and unpleasant.
Nothing to say for themselves. Yeah.
Also, I think what you're saying is that your own social inadequacies are no excuse for not being nice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if it's difficult for you to be nice, you still have to be it.
Or that focusing just on yourself. I'm the shy person in the room.
It's selfish.
And so it's all just about how I'm shy, rather than... Maybe it could also be a little bit about how these other people might want to have a friendly person to talk to or have a nice conversation.
You see, what you're saying is quite reasonable, whereas I'm saying something quite unreasonable. Because I'm saying that when I meet friendly, shy people, they irritate me because they seem too confident to me. Mm. And I think we've got these on how unreasonable ticks. That is.
And they're all sweaty,
and they're
right?
Sweaty.
That's what I know you mean.
Let's
not
get away from just how unreasonable what I'm saying is, because it really is, and I'm very aware of this. And it's one of those very visceral kind of things that I notice myself getting irritated by it. Mm. And it's not fair at all. What I'm feeling, what I'm saying is completely unfair. Because I'm talking about people who are often very friendly, very nice people, but are shy and not trying to hide.
I don't know what you mean. Give me an example.
I think in a lot of comedies and dramas, there's probably... You've seen more and more otherwise quite attractive people pretending to be awkward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And pretending
pretending, but saying that they are. That's quite a common thing, isn't it? Like a very beautiful, confident group
and charming.
Saying, oh, yes, but I'm very socially inadequate.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're not sweating, you haven't got a tick.
Yeah.
Come on, where's the social inadequacy? Harry Potter, actually, is, I think, not exactly what you're saying, but there's a character who is amazing at everything, has great friends, a bunch of girlfriends and stuff, but he's not only is he like the best in his class, he's the best at sport.
Yeah.
He's the most powerful wizard that ever lived, he's got superpowers, he can defeat the Dark Lord in every single book. But he's the loser because there's one guy who doesn't like him, who he beats over and over again.
And the guy who doesn't like him is kind of, I haven't seen it, but presumably he's kind of a jock or a kind of a bully type.
No, well, he's a bad wizard.
He's a goth, isn't he?
These are wizards, we're talking about wizards here, so he's a bad wizard.
Doesn't like you, and therefore...
Yeah, no, Harry's the jock. I mean, he doesn't look like a typical jock, but he plays, he's their star quarterback, basically.
Yeah.
Pussy left and right.
What? Pussy left and right.
He's got pussy left and right.
Oh, yes.
What was that instruction?
He's got Ron on one side and Hermione on the other.
So shopping.
Oh yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, that's what we're wanting.
Your shyness somehow related.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
About asking which is the girl's shirt and which is the man's shirt.
No, just going into a public place and choosing a thing.
And taking all your clothes off. They've got dressing rooms,
Really? What's a dressing room? No.
Actually, not even called that. They've got changing rooms, aren't they?
You know when you go into a shop, like you go into a clothes shop, I particularly hate clothes shopping, and the worst is shoe shopping, right? But imagine a clothes shop, and like imagine there's like two hats, and you're like choosing between the two hats.
That's easy.
And like,
Isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. No, because like
normally there's more apps and you've got to choose from lots of apps.
Yeah, but I'm just giving an example. I've just gone to a really bad shop and I've got two hats and they're like, which hat do you want? Left hat or right hat?
Oh god.
And when I'm in a regular shop with lots of hats and there's other people going about their own business, they're not looking at me, but I feel like they
are.
I'm trying to choose a hat and I feel like everyone's looking at me and so I can't choose a hat. So I run away. And it's even worse with shoes, because in shoes you don't get a changing room. You have to take your shoes off in a shop, and I feel very vulnerable without shoes on, trying other shoes on, and then someone comes and helps you and they're getting you the other shoe and stuff, and it's horrific.
Because of the social interaction.
Just because of the because of other people around and the kind of I feel like everyone is looking at me and judging me. Mm. That's going back.
That's why I shop at TK Maxx.
But if it's a public place, then there's other people there.
You could just take some clothes and some shoes and say, I want to try these on, going to the changing room.
That sounds like every shop. I don't see how that's different to
TK. Well, because they don't have them in shoe shops. They don't have changing rooms in shoe shops.
Oh, I see what you mean there. Okay,
they've got loads of shoes in TK Maxx.
I'll check it out. But the thing is, so I end up going to, like, when I need shoes, I will wear my shoes to death. These are getting there. Even when they've got holes in them and it's raining and I'm getting wet feet, I go to a shoe shop and I will immediately walk out again and go home because I can't take it. Mm. And then I'll go again like a week later and I'll give up again. You're and then it'll take me three or four times. It's not an entirely logical process. It's just I go in and I feel horrific and I'm like, oh God, I hate this. And I run. I would rather have these shoes with holes in.
Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program featuring extra bits from the Man by Cow episode. As always, if you wish to register your enjoyment and help the show grow, please do visit the iTunes page and leave us a little rating or even a review encouraging extra listeners to join us, and that would really help out. Next week, we've got the tremendous Ben Adams on the show. And I say next week, but as this is a bonus episode, it's actually only going to be 2 days, you lucky cunt. Lucky devils. Anyway, for now, goodbye! Hello, I'm Ollie Bettesworth, and my balls are on fire! And this will feature the bits that didn't quite make it into the last episode due to time restraints, but nonetheless were funny and interesting, and I thought... yeah.